But I just got back, and we didn't have a shir last week, and I wanted to make sure that we would have something for Asara B'Teves. I did a quick perusal in the Alei Shor. I didn't see anything from the Alei Shor on Asara B'Teves. So I found from my good friend, Rabbi Baruch Simon Shalita, one of the Rosh Yeshivas at YU. So he has a multi-volume set. I think it's all five volumes now. He has a Chumash Torah called Imre Baruch, beautiful Svarim. So in one of his essays on Parshas Vayigash, he speaks towards the end about a beautiful idea connected to Asara B'Teves, and he connects it with a very beautiful idea from the Rebbe of Cheskel Mikuzmir on the Parsha. So hopefully those two nekudos we can bridge together and have a nice idea to head us, bring us into Shabbos, the Shabbos which is on the one hand coming on the heels of Asara B'Teves, on the other hand, Baruch Hashem, we are celebrating two Shalom Zochars in the community this Friday night. So a lot going on. So if you take a look at the PDF that was sent out, if you go to page 2, where he speaks about the heading is HaBechiyot Shel Yosef u'Binyamin. So he says as follows. The pasuk describes, we'll read Emir Tzah Hashem today, with the famous reunion of Yosef and his brother Binyamin. V'yipol al tavrei Binyamin achiv v'yev u'Binyamin bacha al tzavarav. That when they see each other, they hug, they cry, and each one, so to speak, cries on the neck of the other. So Rashi very famously comments on this, that what does that mean? That Yosef, when he was crying on the shoulders, on the neck of Binyamin, he was really crying, Al shnei mikdashot sha'atidin liyot b'chelkel shel Binyamin v'sofon lihicharev. He was really crying prophetically for not only the experience of having in the moment, that inspirational, emotional moment, but he also was triggered, as it were, to think of something in the future that is associated with his brother Binyamin, the fact that the two Batei Migdash will eventually be destroyed. Now, this Medrash, parenthetically, is making an assumption that the Beis HaMikdash is located in the Shevet of Binyamin. That's a big discussion. I mean, we know where the Beis HaMikdash was. The question is, was that Shevet Binyamin or Yehuda, or we generally assume Lo Chalka L'Shvatim Yerushalayim, it was like Lahavdil, Washington, D.C. There wasn't necessarily, but at least according to this Medrash, we're alluding to the fact that it was in Shevet Binyamin. However, the Medrash continues, as Rashi says, and then Binyamin himself was crying. Why? Al Mishkan Shilo, She'asad Lios L'Chalko She'Yosef, V'Sof Alicharev. So they were having parallel emotional experiences. Not only were they having the emotions of the moment, but both of them were prophetically seeing into the future, crying for something that would take place in the other's geographical, tribal, ancestral home. Yosef crying for the Batei Mikdash that will be destroyed in the land of Binyamin. Binyamin crying for the Mishkan, which will no longer be in the Chelek of Yosef. Ad Kan, Chumash Rashi. Comes along the Rebbe, Ha'admor Rabbeinu Yechezkel Mikuzmir, and he says as follows. In order to interpret on a deeper level what's going on here, he quotes a very beautiful idea from Megillas Esther. Never too early to think about Purim. I have, exactly, Rabbi Clapper is like that. I was about to say, there are certain people, Rabbi Clapper is... There are certain people I know literally the entire year. What's the date? 4 months till Purim. What's the date?
This Hanukkah is always 70 days before Purim, but this year it's...
See, okay, you go to him for all your shaylos. Okay, about that. Anyway, there's a very beautiful idea he quotes here, which I have actually quoted in the past, not knowing that the Rabbi Cheskel Mikuzmir said it. I saw this from the Bina Le'itim. So now we have Pishnei Edim, or Shnei Nevi'im, Shnei Namnu, more or less with Signor Echad, a beautiful idea on the Psukim in Megillas Esther. The Pasuk there says in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tezayin, that before Esther is going to go to approach Achashverosh, we know she didn't have permission yet, so she's very scared, should the gatherers, Lech Knos Kala Yehudim, and she tells them, V'tzomo alai, V'al Tachlu, V'al Tishtu, Shloshes Yamim, Laila V'yom, you should have a big fast, 3 days, 3 nights, you should fast. I'm going to translate this, Tzomo alai, but that's actually part of the point that he's going to ask. It's a weird phrase. What does that mean, with Tzomo alai? We'll get to that. Gam ani v'na'ar osai atzum kein. And also, me and my maid servants, we will also serve, we will also fast similarly. Ad kan the pasuk. In fact, the Rebbe, ve'eno muvan, mahu ha'perish v'tzomo alai. What does that mean, you're fasting for me? Halo atzom haya avor kla Yisrael. Love or Esther. Right? It wasn't, now again, there's a simple answer to that question. She meant fast for the success of my mission. Okay, but still, the dagesh l'chora should have been, let's fast for the success, let's fast so the Klal Yisrael will be saved. Moreover, now that part, that question, which frankly I think is a little weak, that's not in the Bina Le'itim. But the Bina Le'itim does ask the second question, which is his trigger, which is his jumping off point, which is, what is the Perush Gamani V'Na'arosai Otsum Kain? What does that mean that we are also, now again, there's a simple reading as well. It means we're also fasting. What's the Chiddush? And what's the formulation? So the Bina Le'itim and the Arab Cheskel of Kushmir give a similar, brilliant, creative answer. Very profound. Again, I don't know if it's pshat, but it is a profound emes. Ach inyan hu, ki ikar hu, shkol echad yachshosh betovos chavero, v'yispalol al tzar chavero yoser mishalo. Ukasher yira tovos chavero, av she avor ze lo yelo, bal yachshosh klal, kon shavetzinu kan. So says the Rebbe Chesed of Kushmir, again, how did he start? He started with the Rashi in Parshat Vayigash. What's this pshat that all of a sudden Yosef is crying for what's going to happen in the chelek of Binyamin? Binyamin is crying for what's going to happen in the chelek of Yosef. And he answered it by quoting this pasuk in Megillas Esther. It says, what's the yisod that is common to both? That a person should be thinking not about himself, but primarily what is going to affect and impact other people. And therefore, he says, just like we found here, Yosef wasn't crying what's going to happen in his own shevet. He's crying for what's going to happen eventually to Binyamin. Binyamin's crying for what's eventually going to happen to Yosef. As Rashi had just explained, Yosef bachal shnei mikdashos, she'asidin, liyos bachal kusha Binyamin, if not fully charev, Binyamin bachal mishkan shilo she charev. So asks Rechezkel Kushmir, ulechayra, kasha, halo ein lanu ela melech echad, ubeis ha-mikdash echad, v'kon gadol echad, imkein imishkan shilo yicharev, mimelo ya beis ha-mikdash klal, vadu ha-bacha ben yamin. Says, Meil, I understand why Yosef is crying. Because the beis ha-mikdash is going to be destroyed. But he says, ben yamin, you could have thought of it, said, listen, if there's a mishkan in Shilo, if that never gets destroyed, we don't have to worry about anything bad happening in Yosef's chelek. If he was just thinking about himself, he never would have come on to that. Ella shekol echad rotzah sheyiskayim shel chavero av sheaydeis olay lo yelo. Binyamin wanted that the shevet beis hamikdash in the shevet, excuse me, a mishkan in shevet Yosef in Shiloh, even if it would mean that he'd never have a beis hamikdash. And Yosef wanted that there should be beis hamikdash, even if it meant come at the expense of his shevet having the mishkan. He rotzah sheyiskayim shel chavero yoser mishaloh. They each cared about the other one even more than they cared about themselves. This is, now all of this, by the way, the connection to the Vayigash, that's not in the Bina Le'itim. The Bina Le'itim is just commenting on Megillas Esther. But now, Bechezkel brings it back. V'chein, gan kan amr Esther v'tzamu alai. Klomar, atem b'nei Yisrael, tatsumu avorai. Hainu shekabaraschem tia alai. V'gamani v'narosai atzum kein. Shekamani atzum avoram v'lo avorai. V'oz kasher kol chad yispal ban chavero, v'vadei tavo ha-Yeshua. It's really, I think, a breathtaking pshat in the Megillah. When the Jews were all gathering for those 3 days, and they're crying, who are they worrying about? Who are they crying, who are they davening for should be saved? So it's not only pashup shot in Megillah, it's pashup shot in human nature. They're thinking about themselves. They're under a gzeirah shmad. A little bit, nothing happens, they're all going to have a holocaust. So they're davening that the Jewish people should be saved, that they should be saved. It says Esther, no. Samu alai. Don't worry about yourself. You just daven that I shouldn't be killed. Not that I should be successful and save you. Samu alai, fast that I don't get killed today. Or in 3 days, as the case may be. You just fast for me, not for yourself. We're also going to do the same thing. When I fast, when I tell my maidservants to fast, what would be push-up shot? Why is Esther fasting? So Ahasuerus shouldn't kill her. Certainly, why would her maidservants be fasting? So that their master shouldn't be killed. So she says, no. Me and my maidservants, God, we're also doing the same thing, i.e., we're not going to be thinking about ourselves. Just like I'm telling you, fast for me, don't think about yourself. Me and my Na'arot, we're going to be fasting, not for me, not for my success. But for your success. I'll embellish. But basically what they're saying is, In essence, Esther was saying, so I should be killed, but at least you should be saved. Even Ahasuerus will kill me for coming without permission, but at least he should save you. It's not about me. It's about you. I'm telling the Jewish people, it's not about you. It's about me. Each one not davening for themselves, but davening for each other. So too, that's what was going on with Binyamin and with Yosef. Ro'im mizeh shesharish, next page, shesharish ha-yeshua hua achtos. Zeh baka asher kol echad do'eg ba'ad tzarchei chavero, yoter mitzarchei atzmo. Yosef bacha al chorban ha-mikdash, shebechalko ben-yamin, ben-yamin bacha al chorban shilo, shebechalko Yosef, k'mo shenit be'er. Each one crying for the chorban that would happen in each other's land. Ad kan the hakdama. And now, if you turn to the next page, he has a beautiful insight from the Chasam Sofer, which is then embellished upon by one of the great Gedolim who just passed away a few years ago of our generation, Rosh Shlomo Fisher Zatzal. So what is the insight of the Chasam Sofer? So you take a look. He quotes it here, but I'll just stay it outside for a second. There's a very, very world-famous, super-duper-famous Beis Yosef on Asar B'Tevis, where he quotes the Abudraham. The Abudraham says, even though in our current calendaric system it cannot happen, but in theory, when they used to make the calendar based on witnesses, it could have come out that Asar B'Tevis would be on Shabbos. In such a year, that would have happened, right? Asar B'Tevis is the siege of Yerushalayim in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. So what would have happened when the second Beis HaMikdash was built? He assumes that they were still fasting, which is not a bad assumption, but it's also not obvious. It's a big discussion on Tisha B'Av. During the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, were they fasting Tisha B'Av because of what happened on the first Beis HaMikdash? It's an interesting question. It's a debate. But he assumes that they were fasting in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, even for something that would happen in the first Beis HaMikdash. And plus we know that for a certain amount of time, there was Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ariyah even after the Churban. So at some of those, in theory, if Asar B'Tevis would fall on a Shabbos, what would have happened? What would you assume? What is it? Almost no one talks about it because it seems to be so obvious. Of course, it would be Nidcha. Okay. Presumably it would be on Sunday. However, says the Abudraham HaChiddush, because the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, right, there are multiple Sifrei Nevi'im. I know I'm wading into the post-Hashkama Minyan Shabbos Chabura on Nach. I'm not usually allowed to talk about Nach. It's not my sphere in the shul. We have other people who are good at X, but that's the Hashkama Minyan Chabura. But nevertheless, one of the interesting things about Tanakh is that you can have multiple Nevi'im prophesying about the same time period. So we have multiple Sifrei Tanakh that are discussing the Tekufa of the Churban. They complement each other. So Yechezkel, of course, is part of the Golos Bavel, he sent to Bavel. So the Pasuk says, in Yechezkel, Perek Chav Dalet, Be'etza Hayom Hazeh, describes how the Churban will take place, Be'etza Hayom Hazeh, on that very day, on Tisha B'Av. So says the Abudraham, where else do we have that phrase, Be'etza Hayom Hazeh? On Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Be'etza Hayom Hazeh. And what do we learn from that? Even if Yom Kippur should fall out on Shabbos, which it, that it does, Yom Kippur should fall out of Shabbos, we fast anyway. You don't push off Yom Kippur. It has to be that day, there's no nidcha on Yom Kippur. It says that Abudraham, a tremendous chiddush. In theory, Lu Yitzur Aser B'Tevis would fall out on Shabbos, it would fast on Shabbos. Tisha B'Av, we push off. But not Aser B'Tevis. Aser B'Tevis, ki be'etzem hayom hazeh. It has to be on Shabbos. A tremendous Kiddush. And says the Beis Yosef very famously, Lo Yadati Min Layin Lo Zeh. I don't know where he gets it from. What do you mean I don't know where he gets it from? Abudraham just told you where he gets it from. But that's a very polite way of the Beis Yosef saying, you don't know what he's talking about. He made up a drasha. The Abudraham, with all due respect, he lived way after the Tanaim. He's not part of Chazal. He's just not considered empowered and in authority to make up his own drushas. But he did. Says Beis Yosef, Sarach Iyun. Okay, that's the famous Abudraham. Comes along the Chasam Sofer, next paragraph. It's quoted widely, but here he says it's first printed in the Siddur of the Chasam Sofer. I never saw it in original, but it is quoted in a lot of other places where I've seen this. And he explains as follows. There's a very interesting difference between Tisha B'Av and every other fast day. And this relates to, Asar B'Tevis and the other fast days. And this relates to Asar B'Tevis every year, including this year. So he says here, Ki b'shana shenechrav habayis v'tisha b'av kfar nigmar hadin b'yud b'tevis lefaneha. As I mentioned, historically, what happened at Asar B'Tevis? That's when Nebuchadnezzar began the siege. So the Chasam Sofer adds, it's not just that if you went to a political science class. It's not only that if you went to a history class in the university and they were describing the history of the Jews in the First Temple period. And they would describe how, geopolitically, a huge and important event in the eventual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was when the Babylonians laid siege on the 10th of Teves. That is true on Derech HaTeva, that is the first huge step that eventually led to the Korban. But the Chasam Sofer suggests that on a deeper metaphysical, spiritual level, there was also a cause and effect. That the Gzar Din from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there would be a Korban, took place on Asar B'Teves. That's not obvious, that's a Chiddush. But says the Chasam Sofer, I'm feeling frisky. I already have one Chiddush, why not magnify that Chiddush tenfold? Says the Chasam Sofer, next line, V'chein v'chol shana v'shana, nigzar hadin ba'asar b'teves, imya avelas tisha ba'b'shana zu. Wow! If you're feeling tired today, if you're feeling a little bit exhausted, if you're just going to veg and somehow do some Shabbos preparations and somehow figure out a way to count down until five, whatever, until we can get to Kabbalah Shabbos and get home, that grape juice will never taste as sweet as it'll taste tonight, breaking your fast. You don't really have such a meaningful day because it's just about getting through the fast. Remember what we learn now, says the Chasam Sofer, not just in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. Every single year on Asar B'Teves, Hashem decides, will there be a Tisha B'Av this year? So it's not exactly whether there'll be a Korban, but exactly whether there'll be a Binyan. But the same idea, just like Hashem in the original Asar B'Teves decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Final, finito, Zardin on Asar B'Teves. So two every year, including this year, says the Chasam Sofer. Will there be a new Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, or will we need another Tisha B'Av? That's going to be decided today. Wow. And he continues and he says, if you do a dal tzar shavra, kmo yom shemeis bo aviv imo e mesane b'shabes, avatane schalo mutar lisanos, b'shil oneg sheish lo shivatel, tzara hatida lavo alav lo mesane, lo meuna, excuse me, who? Hilchatane tzisha bav zarak al tzar shavra, lo dochi shabes. So now chaz chasam sofer, now I can explain beautifully. It's so idiosyncratic. It's so bizarre. Tisha B'Av is so chabur. Tisha B'Av wouldn't get pushed, gets pushed off, but Asar B'Teves doesn't get pushed off. He says, no, it's not about chabur. It's about whether we're looking forward or we're looking back. Why do we fast on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is recollective. We're just thinking back. Nebuch, oh, it's so sad that once upon a time, once upon a time, there was a Beis HaMikdash, it was destroyed. So we're sad at the anniversary of that, the yahrzeit of the Beis HaMikdash, so we fast thinking back. So therefore, something like that is sad that we don't do that on Shabbos. But the fast of Asar B'Teves is not just to be sad thinking about what happened. The fast of Asar B'Teves is a way of trying to impact and change the future. We should not just commemorate or commiserate about a sad past. We should try to come together to fast and do tshuva, have a better future. Says Chasam Sofer, we know the halacha is that you don't, there's a halacha, you have to have oneg Shabbos, you have to have Suda Shabbos. You don't just stam fast. It's a bittul of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. However, what's the halacha Shulchan Aruch? If a person had a terrible dream, wake up Friday night, you have a horrible dream, if you're so scared about the impact of that dream and you want to have a tainus chalom in order to forestall, God forbid, Rachmana Litzlan, what happened in that dream, you're allowed to. What happened to Oneg Shabbos? In this particular case, Oneg Hulo. The fasting is his Oneg. Because if he's going to eat Cholten Kugel and a little herring, but he's worried about the dark cloud hovering over him because of the premonition he has because of his dream, that's not such an oneg. But in this unique situation, if he's fasting, Adrabah, if he thinks that that's going to take care of the horrible dream, that itself is more pleasurable than even the Kugel and the Cholent. Says Chasam Sofer, that's shot in Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves, if properly understood, properly appreciated, properly experienced, is not just sad about a past. It is empowering us to hopefully get rid of the gzera that there should be another Tisha B'Av, that the Beis HaMikdash should remain unbuilt. Just like a person who had a bad dream is allowed to fast on Shabbos, because that's his own egg, that's his tanug ulo. So too, if we properly appreciated Asar B'Teves, we know that that should be our greatest own egg, because by fasting on Asar B'Teves and doing tshuva, hopefully we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in theory, that would even push off Shabbos. Ad kan the Chasam Sofer. And in two more minutes we'll finish, because just the final bow on top is of Shlomo Fischer. I have the sefer at home. Beis Yishai, long, big, beautiful essays. So in Siman Lamed, there he has a piece. By his standards, it's not that long. It's only a few pages.
He's still alive.
No. Passed away. No, he passed away a few years ago. This book was published when he was still alive.
Yeah.
But he is actually not alive. Because, Simcha, I know things even when they're not in this book. I'm just kidding with you. Anyway, I'm not sure if they've done a reprint. This is the original. For the record, when this book came out, I got, as a gift, an autographed copy from Rabbi Simon. But then I met Aliyah, and I haven't gotten the last volumes as gifts. Because I'm actually missing that volume, in case anyone's interested. I only have 4 of the 5 volumes. Anyway, on Parsha. He has other volumes on Moadim already, and also Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so in Beis Ishai, Shlomo Fisher, for those who didn't know, his official title was Rashi of Itri. But he was much bigger than that. He was Mamish from the Gedolei Gedolei Hador, but he also couldn't be put in a box. His brother was one of the Dayanim at Eidech Haredes. He was also a genius. And he was Mamish, a Gaon HaGaonim, genius of geniuses. He knew everything, not only Kala Torah Kula, and all the weird things, the normal things, Drush Halachi, he also knew Kala Chachma Kula. And because of that, he was not 100% Makubal. He wore a long Bekesha, or a frock, I guess, maybe in a strimal, means you were Shami. But he was Mechutzul Kufsa Lagamre. Anyway, but not everyone liked, you know, people like people in boxes. That's the world we live in. He was out of the box. But no one doubted his genius and his scholarship. He was unbelievable. So he has the following chiddush. It's very, very speculative. But Roy Lemish Omro, he's a very big mechadesh. So he says something interesting. He says, all of the other fasts that we have commemorating the Churban, Chazal tell us that they were sad or bad days in Jewish history, even before the Churban. Right? That's the famous sugya in Masechta Tainis, that what happened on Shavuos Rabbatamuz, that was the day of the Chet Egel. Tisha B'Av was the Chet Maraglan. So ask for Shlomo Fisher, what was the horrible tragedy earlier in Jewish history which foreshadowed Asar B'Tavis? There's the Maraglim, there's the Chet Egel. What foreshadowed, what made Asar B'Tavis Yom Mar? Yom Shuchpolu Mot Tzaros. A day in which it was worthy and fitting to have another Tzara. The way Chazal clearly say Tisha B'Av and Shavuos Rabbatamuz were already predetermined in history, in earlier stages of history, to have the Churban. So he says, again, speculatively, Hitzia, bottom of the page, Hitzia Beis Ishai, Sheish Lomar, Ki Mechiras Yosef, Ira B'Yomze. Tremendous Chiddush. You have to have break the plates to say things like this. But Shlomo Fisher had the broadest. He said he thinks... Lulei de Mistafina. He says he thinks that really Mechiras Yosef took place on Asar B'Tavis. Now, of all bad things to pick, why does he pick that? So he explains, because Mechiras Yosef, of course, is the shorish of Sinas Chinam. Brothers can't get along. That is the basis of the Churban. And therefore, it must have been, he suggests, that some horrible incident of Sinas Chinam took place on Asar B'Tavis, and that's why there was a Gzar Din of the Churban, as the Chasam Sofer said. Last page, we'll finish. Even he admits this is speculative. Why? Because what is the mazel? We know that there are astrological signs that are associated with different months. What is the sign that is associated with Teves? The Gedi, little baby goat. Ugedi misamel eschet mechiras Yosef. As the Pasuk says, v'yishchetu sierizim. And the Gemara itself says, Avun Gedi refers to the sin of mechiras Yosef as Avun Gedi. It says that they killed that goat and they dipped the sonas pasim in the blood. And therefore he thinks that that is an allusion to the fact mechiras Yosef and that original sin of sinas chinam took place on Asar B'Tavis. Concluding paragraph, Hari Mavur Mizeh, Shabasar B'Tavis, Nishrash Bo Sinas Achim, Adi Mechiras Yosef, Adi Zeh Nigram Masha Nigram, Avanosenu Harabim, Adayin Lo Nivna Habayis. Unfortunately, we are still trying to crawl out from under that sin of Sinas Chinam. Alkein Mechovatenu Largish Et Divrei Yerushalmi V'atanya. I didn't even discuss the Tanya. He has a lot of other Makoros in this piece. All about Achdus, Shechulanu Chativa Achas. That we're all really unified, physically, metaphysically. Achim Mamish. V'tshechim Anu Lidog Zeh Lazeh. V'aydei Zeh Yifzuku. Hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, In Shamayim, Asar B'Tevis, Shanazu, Shivna Beis HaMigdish, Mehera, V'tzoma Chamishi, Yefoch, L'Sosonu, L'Simcha, Amen. Halavai, halavai. We may be hungry today, but hopefully we use our time productively, and hopefully we won't have to fast on Tisha B'Av.
Question, because it says about blood raking by mind.